Well, if you came to church sleepy, you ought to be awake by now. Jesus is worthy. You know, there's a phrase that when I'm signing off to folks many times I'll use because I believe it to be so, and I'm glad that it is, and that phrase is a scriptural phrase that is taken from this time of year, and it is, God is with us. And it doesn't matter what you're going through in life, and there's probably all kinds of situations represented even right here in our sanctuary today. It's just good to know, and for those who do know, it's just good to remember that God is with us. And I'm glad that he is, aren't you? I'm thankful that he is. Well, it's Christmas time. And before long would be Christmas Day. And I was thinking this past week of all the wonderful blessings that the Lord bestows upon us. None greater than the greatest gift that has ever been given. And that is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I am so thankful that I received that gift. I trust that you have. I do. You know, the only thing that would be negative about that gift is for it to go unreceived. The gift has been given. The price for the gift has been paid. The invitation to receive the gift has been extended. I trust you have received it. It would be a tragedy of all the gifts that will be exchanged in the next several days for that gift, the greatest gift of all, to go unreceived by someone sitting in a Bible-believing church like this and hearing that that gift was given for you. And yet that gift will do you no good if you do not receive it. But the good news is you can receive it. It's a personal gift with a personal invitation attached. John 1:12 says, "But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, and this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I trust that you know Jesus as your Savior, and I trust if you do, that you will worship him as we continue in worship in the Word of God. If you do not know him, I trust before you leave this service, you will humbly bow your head in admission that I am a sinner, and that Jesus died for my sin, and that if I would receive his death for my sin and believe that he not only died for my sin, but that he was buried and he rose again from the grave that I might have eternal life, then you can know Jesus as your personal Savior. I trust that you will. Luke chapter number 1 for our scripture reading today. Luke chapter number 1. I enjoyed the singing. The singing was part of worship. I'm going to make a statement, and I don't want you to think that this is negative toward the singing. I enjoyed the singing. It's just that I hope that your worship doesn't end when the singing ends. Did you know you could worship God without music? Now, you can worship God in music. Amen. And we should, and we have. I hope that you did. I was talking with Brother Mark, and I'm just going to ramble a little bit. You say, I don't like when preachers ramble. Well, you better close your ears. I was talking with Brother Mark in Bowdoin yesterday, and I so appreciate those who played their instruments yesterday at our Glory Days luncheon, Christmas dinner, actually. It was a wonderful time together. By the way, I announced this to the Glory Days class, I've officially joined the Glory Days crowd. I'm part of the gang now. Amen. Turned 65 in November, and so I'm part of the gang. I'm one of the group. Yeah. And we heard some what people would maybe classify as bluegrass type music, and you know I like that kind of music too. I like this kind of music. I like bluegrass type. I like Southern gospel. I just love music that honors and magnifies the Lord. Don't you? And so I was talking to Brother Mark, and I said, you know, wouldn't it be good if those folks that were up there, Sister Carrie, Levi, Brother Terry, Brother Mark, and there were others up there singing, Sister Amber, singing and playing instruments. I hope I didn't leave you out. I left someone out, but that's okay. You know who I'm talking about. Wouldn't it be good if we had them to play more often at the church? I enjoy that. I enjoy the strings and that type of music, and so we're going to see. I talked with Meredith some yesterday, and we have talked about it before, and we would love to have these folks play and sing, and I just think that music is honoring to God. I just love music that honors the Lord. Amen. But you can worship God without music. Now, I believe music ought to be not only a time to prepare us for worship, music ought to be a time to worship. It just doesn't prepare our hearts to worship. It can actually lead us into worship, and I'm thankful for that. But now you have the Word of God open before you. And without a note being stricken on the key of a piano, without a note being sang through the vocals of those who have good voices, without you joining along to sing with them, we can turn our attention upon Him in whom these songs had pointed us to. And we can look to Him, and we can see Him in His Word. And I hope you will do that in this time that we have before we close our service today. And so would you open up the Bible, Luke chapter 1. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to give you just some simple truths about Jesus. I want to talk to you about Jesus. Imagine that. I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Jesus is worthy of all of our praise. Amen? Jesus is worthy of all of our praise. Well, I got to get my outline here. And when I do, we'll read the scripture. You're in Luke chapter 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 46. Luke 1, verse number 46. Now, I can preach without an outline. You say, now, Pastor, have you ever preached without an outline? Yes, I have. Sometimes I preach better without an outline. I'm not saying that I ever preach good. But sometimes I do preach better without an outline. I rarely follow my outline. You say, we can tell. But I do follow instructions. Luke 1:46, we'll read down through verse number 56. This is called Mary's Magnificat. It's a song. You know a little bit about the background of this, right? Mary had received word that she was with the God child, the man Christ, Jesus. And she had gone to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was also with child, John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon them exchanging some information, Mary broke forth in song. Now, I don't know that she sang it, but she certainly broke forth in what's called the Magnificat. And I want to read it to you. I hope you'll follow along as I read. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. There are some things that Mary says in this declaration that as I was looking over this past week or so, I thought, you know, I want that to be a part of my life. I want that heart. I want that spirit. I want that desire to be in my heart that she had for not only the child that she was carrying, but for the Lord that she would birth. I want the Christ child that Mary birthed and eventually birthed her and has birthed me into his kingdom. If you're saved, he's birthed you into his kingdom. I want this attitude. Did you get it? Did you see some of the things that she said? Let's pray. Father, help us in this time together to focus on none other but our Savior, your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me, God, to relay what you placed in my heart to your people, that we would declare, as we have sang in song, we would declare it, Lord, that he alone is worthy. Lord, you are worthy. Come. Come. Let us adore him. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. When I look at this song, this poem, this saying, this declaration of Mary, as I said, there's some things in here that I want to bring to your attention. When Mary begins to give this declaration, one of the things that immediately that I notice is that Mary is quoting Scripture. She's referring to some things that was in her heart that she already knew, and she's using the Word of God to praise the Son of God. And as I think about that, I think about this, as I go through this season, and God has really been speaking to me about these things, and I've already began some. We put out the challenge, and I was so glad to hear Peyton say, Peyton's here today with some of his family, and I asked him how he was doing, and he said, I'm doing good. He said, you know, I heard the challenge that you put out, and many of you accepted that challenge, and you've completed that challenge, and Peyton said, I'm working on it. And he said, I got Matthew and Mark. I mean, here's a guy who just got saved, and he's just running it down, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And he said, I'm in Romans, and I said, praise the Lord, Peyton. Praise the Lord. You know, we need to get God's word in us, brethren. That's what's going to bring change. That's what's going to bring peace. That's what's going to just cause us to praise the Lord. It's hard to praise the Lord when the Word of God is not in you. The Word of God getting in us will cause us to want to praise the Son of God. And so I want you to notice what Mary does here. Mary is, in verse number 46, well, I tell you what I'd like to do. I wasn't going to do this, but I think it would be good for us. I want you to hold your place here and turn back to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Now, some of you know immediately where I'm going. 1 Samuel chapter 2 is another declaration, another song, if you will. And it's by a young woman, a godly woman by the name of Hannah. And as I look at Mary's song and as I compare it to Hannah's song or declaration, I see where Mary is actually quoting and using some of this scripture. And it challenges my heart to want to saturate my heart with scripture. And so I've asked the Lord, Lord, lead me in getting the Word of God more inside of me. Whether it be through reading the Word, studying the Word, meditating on the Word, memorizing the Word. I want God's Word in me. And it would be easy for us to say, yeah, I do too. And it'd be easy for me to stand up here and say, I want that. But you know what? I'm going to be a man of action. I want to do that. I'm not going to just talk about it. As God is my helper, I'm going to challenge you to help me. And let's help and encourage one another to get in God's Word, to study God's Word, to learn what it is to meditate on God's Word and memorize God's Word together. You say, well, I'll do it without that, preacher. How many scriptures did you memorize this past year? Now, don't say that out loud. You may have memorized 100. You may have memorized 10. But, you know, most people without a challenge won't memorize it all. And so I just want to encourage you. That's why I'm up here preaching to you. I want to encourage you. Get God's Word in you. God's Word in us. Listen, God's Word in us is what's going to lead us to be able to worship God in a way that would not only glorify Him, but in a way that would help us. Worshiping God doesn't make God any greater, but it sure does make me better. And I want to worship God through His Word. Notice what Mary did here. You see verse 46? And Mary said, look at it. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. What a declaration. Luke 1, verse 46. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced. You see that? Now turn back if you would. Hold your place here. Turn to 1 Samuel 2. Hannah said this. She said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. She said the latter part of that verse, in verse number 1, she said, and I rejoice in thy salvation. You think Mary was thinking about what Hannah had said? It comes right from that. Go back, if you would, to chapter 1 of Luke again. Hold your place there in 1 Samuel 2. Look at verse number 49 of Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, verse 49. This is what Mary said. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Look at this. And holy is his name. Now go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Chapter 2. Look at verse number 2. There is none as holy as the Lord. You see what Mary's doing? Mary is looking and she's saying, she has hid this in her heart. She didn't have the copy of the Word before. She had hid God's Word in her heart. She had learned it as a child. At this time, Mary, maybe 17, maybe 18, no one knows for sure, but a young lady for sure. And she had spent the young years of her life dwelling in God's Word, memorizing God's Word, getting God's Word in her heart. And God looked down from heaven and said, I like that. And He chose her to bear His Son. You see, I want God to look down from heaven and see what I'm doing. And I want God to look down from heaven and see what you're doing and say, I like that. I like that they're putting an emphasis on my Word. I like that they're giving time to my Word. I like that they're using their minds and their hearts and their efforts to hide my Word in their heart because they don't want to sin against me. They want to know what my Word says so they can do my Word, so they can praise me through my Word, and so they can tell others of my Word. You go back just for a moment, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I would encourage you to do it yourself. God's Word is a wonderful thing, brethren. I need more of God's Word in me. You say, but you're a preacher. That should be all the more reason I need more of God's Word in me. And you're a Christian. You need more of God's Word in you. We all need more of God's Word in us. I want to be like this. I want to be able just to quote God's Word, and I want to be able just to praise God through His Word and tell God how worthy He is from His Word. Mary, if you'll notice in verse number 53, of Luke chapter 1, she says, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. She said, you know, God knows how to balance things out. It's not saying that God doesn't want people to have things in abundance, but she's saying God knows how to balance things out. God knows how to take care of the needs of others. Now go back to what Hannah prayed in her prayer. Look at verse number 5, chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 5. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. Do you see what God is recording that Mary has done here? She has so saturated herself with the Word of God that it just comes out of her. You know, when I was a child, many of you will remember this. I don't even know if these things are around anymore. How many of you remember the old cedar chest? Oh, okay, more people than I thought. You know, my grandmother had a cedar chest, and when we would go to her house, you could walk in the room, and I mean, the room would just be permeated with that cedar smell. And it's where she put some of her blankets and some of her things that she had put away for certain seasons until the next season came around, then she'd switch it out. But when she would pull something out of there, it had that aroma. You know what I'm talking about? That cedar aroma. I mean, it was strong. And it's because it was in that chest. And I thought about this when I was thinking about Mary. She just had that aroma, you know. She just had that aroma of God in her. It just came out. I want that aroma. I want it just to come out. I don't want to have to really think about it intentionally. I don't think Mary was saying, now, you know, I'm going to go see Elizabeth, and when I'm there, I'm going to quote this scripture, I'm going to say this. I think it just came out. I think she just burst out in praise. And the Word of God that she had put in her so diligently began to come out. God help me to do that. God help you to do that. Is there anyone here that would be like me and say, and you don't have to raise your hand, just speak in your own heart. You know, I want to get more of God's Word in me. I could do better. I could do more. I want to get more of God in me and less of this world in me. I want to get me out and God in. Amen. It's like John said, the very one that Mary went to see Elizabeth, when she gave birth to this John, the forerunner, John the Baptist, when he seen Jesus and he realized really what Jesus was there to do, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Brethren, that's what I'm after. That's what I'm after. I want him to increase. I want his word in me. I do. I just want to be permeated with his word, so when I'm around people, people say, he's got that aroma. Not the cedar aroma, the Christ aroma. I just want that aroma to permeate from me. But in order for it to do that, I've got to get it in me. In order for it to come out, it's got to get in. Are you spending enough time? You say, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good. Well, good. But you know, I think all of us could do better. And I just want to encourage you. Search your heart. Search your heart. Are you memorizing God's word? You say, preacher, there's some things in my life that need to come out. Well, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Is there something kind of binding you down or holding you back or tying you down? Is there something trying to steal your victory, trying to rob you of your joy? Is there a sin that has easily beset you? Is there something that kind of just keeps popping up and knocking us off track? We need to get in God's word, and God's word will give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So as I seen this, I thought, you know, I want to be saturated. I do. I want to be saturated with the Word of God. I want to understand it through study, through meditation. I want to use it in praising God, in sharing the gospel with others. Some of the greatest encouragement that we as Christians can give to people is God's Word. I was telling our Sunday school class, there's a lot of hurting people in this world. I mean, they're everywhere, brethren. Can I tell you, there's no greater encouragement known to us that we possess, that we can use to encourage people, than this book right here. Amen. This book is an encourager. It is. I ran across this, and I want to share it with you before we move to our second point. So I want God's Word to get in me. I want to be saturated with the Word of God. And as God is my helper, I have made a promise to God, and I make a vow to this church. I am going to get in God's Word in a different way. I am going to hide God's Word in my heart. There was a time in your pastor's life, and I'm not saying this bragging, I'm actually saying almost confessing, sorrowfully, that I memorized Scripture every single day. And sometimes when you get a good number of Scripture, and I'm not saying that in a boasting way, you think, well, that's good. No, it's not. No, it's not. I could do better. And God forgive me when I could do better for Him and I don't. Just use me. I am the Bible. I am God's wonderful library. I am always and above all the truth. To the weary pilgrim, I am a good strong staff. To the one who sits in gloom, I am a glorious light. To those who stoop beneath the heavy burden, I am sweet rest. To him who has lost his way, I am a safe guide. To those who have been hurt by sin, I am a healing balm. To the discouraged, I whisper glad messages of hope. To those who are distressed by the storms of life, I am an anchor. To those who suffer in lonely solitude, I am a cool, soft hand resting on a fevered brow. O child of man, to best defend me, just use me. There was a man who did Bible bindings. And as he was binding a Bible, a little child walked up and said, "It's a nice binding there on that Bible." He said, "Do you sell the stuff that goes on?" And he said, My grandmother has a Bible and it just keeps cracking. And do you sell the stuff that you can put on it to where it won't crack?" And he said, "No, I don't." He said, "But God's already given it to you. It's the oil that he puts in your hand." You ever heard the saying, the Bible that usually is coming apart belongs to someone who was not? We need to use our Bible. Not just on Sunday. I'm not saying that that's what you do. I'm just challenging you. Not just for 5 minutes a day. All right? It'd be a shame to think that we spend X amount of time on social media a day and 2 minutes a day on the Bible or in the Bible. Let us saturate ourselves with the Word of God. Number two, as we go back to Luke chapter 1, I want you to notice something else. Not only is she saying, "I want to be saturated and I want the Word of God to saturate me, but I want to magnify the Lord." I not only want to be saturated with the Word of God, I want to magnify the Son of God. Look what she said in verse number 1, verse number 46 of chapter 1. "My soul doth magnify the Lord." You know what it means to magnify? It means to declare great. Mary said, I just want to tell God how great he is to me. I want to tell others how great God is. "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth rejoice. My spirit," in verse number 47, "hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Is yours? Is mine? Even at this time of the year, when you would think that a lot of hearts are turned toward God my Savior, is yours? Is mine? So, well, now we got a lot going on, preacher. We got family gatherings. Thank God. That's wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. Planning on having some myself. We've got this to do, that to do, and this to do, and that to do. Well, when your heart is saturated with the Word of God, your desire will be to magnify the Son of God. Magnify Him. He's the supreme one. Notice what Mary said here. She said, my soul doth magnify. She said, he is the supreme one. That's why I want to lift him up. You see that word, my soul doth magnify? You see it? The Lord. That word means controller. He's the master. He controls my life. That's why she said, I want to magnify him. You say, well, preacher, I don't always feel like magnifying the Lord. Well, is he your Lord? Is he controlling your life? The more he controls me, the more I want to magnify him. The less I allow him to control me, the less I will find myself magnifying the Lord. And so Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. He's the controller of my life. Who controls your life? Someone's going to control our lives. And we get to choose. Amen? You say, you one of those that believes in choice? I sure am. I sure am. I had a young man come to me, and I thought it was a great question. He said, what can I do about anger? Or is anger a sin? I said, well, can be. But anger is an emotion, just like love. And just like you get to choose who you're going to love, you also get to choose if you're going to be angry to the point of sinning. You get to choose. Well, I just can't help it. Well, sure you can. Can you help who you love? Amen? You can also help who you magnify. You can help who and what you magnify. We're people of choice. And Mary said, I choose to magnify. Look at it again here in verse number 46. My soul doth magnify the Lord. He's the one. She didn't say nothing. My soul doth magnify the Lord and this one and this one. We've got it mixed up in Christianity, brethren. God never said it's God. It's Christ and this and Christ. It's Christ or. It's Christ or. You can't control your life and God control it at the same time. You can't serve two masters. Please hear me now. Please. This is what's going to get us to a place to where we can serve God the way many of us desire in our hearts to, but there's an enemy out there who is trying to prevent us from doing it. And he said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. This speaks of the Supreme One, the Supreme One. But look what else she said in verse number 47. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. These are two wonderful, wonderful titles of our Lord Jesus. He's our Savior. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. You know, someone has said if the world needed an entertainer or pleasure, God would send us an entertainer. If it needed a money, he would send us an economist. If it needed this or that, he would send us someone that would address that. But you know what the world needs more than anything else? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, we could go around here and we could say, what's your need? 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 Yours, yours, yours. There may be different needs represented here today, but I can tell you a need that everyone in here has. And it's forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. And there's only one that can forgive, and that's why he's called the Savior of the world. The word Savior means deliverer. He delivered us from our sin, brethren. And so Mary said, I want to be saturated with the Word of God. I want to magnify the Son of God. And then finally, and by the way, as I was reading down through this, I thought, that's what I want right there. That's what I want. I want my life to constantly be taken in the Word of God and lifting up the Son of God. And I believe you do too. If you're saved, I know that's what you desire, but it's got to get beyond it. Listen, it has to get beyond the desire. We can't just see that we need to do it. We need to take the steps that will enable us to carry it out. So I'm going to memorize Scripture. When are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to start tomorrow. Right? Is that it, brethren? Huh? You see what I'm saying? Don't be like the person who said, never do today what you can put off to tomorrow. How are you going to do that? When are you going to do that? Are you making a plan to hide God's word in your heart? Do you have a reading schedule to read so many chapters of the Bible a day or to meditate in God's word? Do you have a quiet time schedule? If we do not schedule these things, and take it from someone who knows because I've failed in this area more than once. If we do not schedule a time, set aside a time, we will not do these things. And our desire will remain a desire. And then it will begin to turn into guilt and then shame, when it can turn into accomplishment and achievement. But we have to take the steps to do it. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Read it. Study it. The Bible demands it. Not for God's good, but for ours. Memorize it. Share it. Magnify the Son of God. Think about who He is. Is He the controller? Is He the Savior of your life? Do you look at Jesus and say, thank God He's the Savior of my life? Every day we ought to give thanks that Jesus is our Savior. I ran across this, and I'd like to read it to you. He guards the young, Jesus. He seeks the stray. He finds the lost. He guides the faithful. He rights the wrongs. He avenges the abused. He defends the weak. He comforts the oppressed. He welcomes the prodigal. He heals the sick. He cleanses the dirty. He beautifies the barren. He restores the fallen. He mends the broken. He blesses the poor. He fills the empty. He clothes the naked. He satisfies the hungry. He elevates the humble. Jesus is all of that. But greater than all of those, He saves the sinner. We are a blessed people. Sometimes we forget where God found us and the condition in which He found us. But I sure am thankful. No wonder the songwriter said, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Magnify the Lord. Let us. I like this. Oh, come. Let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Magnify Him. Speak of Him everywhere you go. You know, if you get enough of Him in you, when you open your mouth, He will come out of you. Amen? You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying so, too. You start getting God's word. You start reading and studying and meditating and memorizing and getting God's word, getting under the teaching of the word of God, the preaching of the word of God, listening to the word of God in song. Every time you open your mouth, something about your wonderful Savior will come out. You just can't help it. It just comes out. Not that you would want to help it. It just breaks out on you. Well, let me close with this. Well, we want to be saturated with the Word of God. We want to magnify the Son of God. But I like what Mary did here, maybe most of all. I think it's because of the first two that she does this. She appreciates the grace of God. The grace of God. Did you notice it? Notice if you would. Look down if you would what she said here in verse number 30. Back in verse number 30, the Scripture says this in chapter 1. I didn't read this to you, but it's... The angel of the Lord said unto Mary, he said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found, I like this word, favor. I use that word. I like that word. Thou hast found favor with God. Weren't you glad that we found favor with God? You know what the word favor is there? It's gracious. It's gracious. And Mary realized in what way she had found favor. Notice it if you would. Look down at the Scripture here. Notice if you would how she found favor. Look at verse number 48. She said this. She said, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. I'm glad God regarded my low estate, aren't you? You know, that word low estate means poverty. But it's not a physical or a material poverty. It is a spiritual poverty. Brethren, when Jesus found me, I was bankrupt spiritually. When Jesus finds the sinner, they're bankrupt. We're bankrupt. And we lose sight of that sometimes because now we're full. But when Jesus found me, I was empty. I was empty. She said, I found favor. The angel told her, and she realized it. She said this. She said, yes, indeed I have. And she said in verse number 48, my Savior hath regarded the low estate. That speaks of poverty. He hath regarded, watch it now, the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Can I tell you that all generations have? But as you look at me, I hope that you see me. If you don't see me any other way, I hope you'll say, that man right there is a blessed man. And when I look at you, I hope that I can say, regardless of what possessions you have, regardless of anything else in your life, if you have found favor with God and He has regarded your low estate, you're a blessed person. You are blessed. God has had mercy on you. And God has shown Himself faithful to you. And He has regarded you in your low estate. I trust that as we look at this, and there's other things, but my time is up. I want you to listen now. Could I challenge you to do something? I'm going to issue a challenge to the church very soon here. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's hold each other accountable. You say, now, preacher, that could get a little dicey. Well, it could get a little advantageous too. There's advantages of holding each other accountable. Some people need to be held accountable. I do. I actually think everyone does. Maybe you'll do it in your home with your family. Maybe you'll do it with your Sunday school class. Maybe you'll do it with the church. Let's get in the Word, and let's get the Word in us. Let's saturate ourselves. We are so busy saturating ourselves, it seems like, with everything but the Word. And it's not enough just to know that we need to do other things, that we need to get God's Word in us. We've got to take the steps to do it. It's not enough just to sit in a church service and hear a preacher get up and talk about it, and you say, you know what, he's right. He's right. Well, what are you going to do about it? You going to get you a good reading schedule? You going to hold yourself accountable? You going to get you a study book? Or are you going to ask someone, hey, do you know a good book that I could get to study God's Word? Do you know a good memorization program where I could start memorizing Scripture? I want to get more of God's Word in me. It's not enough just to desire it. We have to be people of action. Number two, as we saturate ourselves with the Word of God, we will magnify the Son of God. And all of us know when we sing, He alone is worthy, we sang it from our heart because we meant it. It's a truth that all of us share as Christians. Jesus alone is worthy. Let's magnify His name. It's not about the church. Amen? It's not about the preacher. It's not about this family or that family, this person or that person. He alone is worthy. Amen? And then let's be appreciative of the grace of God. Don't go through life unthankful. Don't forget where God found you. You say, well, preacher, now I've had some not so good things happen to me in my life. I have too. We all have. All of us have. But I can say, as the songwriter said in the song, God is Good, there's been far more good things that God has brought into my life than bad things. And God has used the bad to conform me and to teach me and to work them together for the good, for His glory. And I think He has in your life too. Let's stand to our feet, okay?